Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Well, in the latest offering of Lost and Found Theater, tonight's guest plays a former actress who, along with a failed poet, climb into the boiler room of an abandoned hotel in the prairies to seek refuge from winter in the world. Kathleen Sheehy is also a founding member of the ensemble and its artistic director, and is on the phone to talk with us about Boiler Room Suite and a concept called Radical Hospitality. But first, let's listen to Spirit of Love from the Great Wooden Trio's self-titled CD, The Great Wooden Trio.
About a handful of love, but I flat out refused it, 'cause I was so afraid to lose it. Maybe I just wanted it too much, now it's lost.
Spirit of love, won't you rest on me tonight? Fall on me tonight. It's all right.
And I could sign 1,000 crosses, count 10,000 beads, circle Mecca down on my knees. If I could only
And now to our interview with Kathleen Sheehy. Good evening, Kathleen.
Good evening.
Now, we've talked a couple of times in the past, but there might be some listeners who haven't heard those interviews before. Let's give a little bit of your background story in that. What got you started on the path to acting?
Oh, golly, let's see. I was always interested in it. My parents actually met in a Catholic theater guild in Philadelphia. And my mother remained active in community theater for years. And then, I don't know, I just sort of drifted towards it and joined a drama team at my church. And we did some street theater in northern Italy. And one thing led to another. And next thing you know, I moved to Canada and joined a theater company.
So how did you, you talk about coming to Kitchener-Waterloo. There's a really neat story behind all of that. Kind of what brought you into this, into the KW area?
Well, it involved some globetrotting. I was with my drama team in Italy, and then I decided to spend some time in Paris just seeing the city. And while I was there, I connected with a Youth with a Mission drama team based out of New Zealand, and they told me about a theater company in Cambridge, Ontario. So very circuitous route, but, you know, God works in funny ways.
Well, and it's been about 10 years since Lost and Found, just over 10 years since Lost and Found Theater began. What have been some of the challenges that the company's gone through over those that decade and a bit?
Well, various things. For one thing, a few of our founding members ended up relocating out of the area, which took some adjusting on our part. First, Mike Pang and Kate Holt relocated to Edmonton. Mike wanted to pursue an MFA out at the University of Alberta, and Kate's parents were, her mother was ailing, and she's from that area, so they moved out to Edmonton. And then Andrew Lakin is part of Living Waters Ministry, and he moved out to Vancouver to work out of their main office. So that was a bit of a blow to lose half of our founding membership. But we managed to soldier on, and of course, like all arts groups, we've struggled with financial ups and downs, which is pretty much par for the course in this business. But we're still here.
Well, what have been some of the highlights for you, though? I mean, you talk about the challenges, but there's obviously been time, you know. So what have been some of those?
Well, I certainly speaking for myself, I think the company would agree that one big highlight was helping to develop Gary Kirkham's play Falling Awake, which we premiered in 2007, and that it's a beautiful play, and it's gone on to have productions all over the place. There's been quite a few in Canada. There's been some in the United States. It was translated into Italian, so there's a production pending in Italy, and that's just been very, very exciting for us to help Gary keep moving forward as a playwright. So that's a huge highlight for Lost and Found Theater.
And you've done a couple of his plays now, haven't you?
Yes, we have. That's the only one we have premiered as Lost and Found Theater. When we were still part of Theatering Company, we premiered Queen Millie of Galt. But we've also done Gary's Pearl Gidley, which we collaborated to some extent on developing with the Blythe Festival. They actually did the premiere, and then we did it about a year later. And he's working on another one right now that we're hoping to bring to the public within the next 12 months or so.
Well, looking at all of this stuff and that, you mentioned, you know, losing part of the company in the early stages of that. What have been some of the changes that have been gone on behind the scenes that people might not see once they see the actors in front in the studio?
Well, of course, there's been plenty of changes in people's personal lives. Another founding member, Nicole Lee Quinnell, has since married and now has a one-year-old daughter. So that's a huge change for her. Despite that, she has managed to design the set and stage manage the show that we're opening tomorrow night. And her husband's directing it. So there's all kinds of changes in our personal lives going on behind the scenes, you know, job changes and whatnot, because we have to do other things in order to pay all the bills. The theater doesn't pay all the bills for any of us personally. But it's been great to seek out new collaborations with other area artists. It's been fantastic on this show to work with George Joyce again. George and some of us worked together years ago at Theatering Company, and we just reestablished that relationship. And, it's been great to get to know other area theater artists, both backstage people and actors.
Well, what have been some of the changes in the theater scene in this area itself that Theater Company has had to endure?
Of course, there's always a venue crunch around here. There's just not enough places to put on shows, especially with some of the companies like Kitchener-Waterloo Musical Productions, for example. Their pattern used to be one big show at the Center in the Square, and then sometimes they would do a much smaller spring show. But they're no longer performing at the Center in the Square. And so now they're doing two pretty major musicals, and they do one of them at St. Jacob's Country Playhouse, and they've been doing the other one at the Registry, which puts more pressure on the Registry, because that's everybody's favorite venue. It's just a wonderful venue. So there's been a little more programming going on, and the venue options have not kept up with the demand. So that's one big change. Also, the Drayton Entertainment Company has expanded quite a bit. Now they're in Dunfield in Cambridge, so we've got a little more professional theater on the doorstep. So, but then again, they've got their niche, we've got ours. So in a way, I see that as a good thing. You know, the more theaters there are, the more people get in the habit, we hope, of going to the theater. But yeah, it is a challenge to get audiences out. We're all feeling that.
Yeah. Now, all of this started, too, with you as well, as part of an outreach with Youth with a Mission. And that, how has the church's response to the arts community changed in that time frame since Lost and Found Theater began as well?
I don't know if I can really speak to that. We never had, in my association, even back with Theater and Company, our relationship with the churches it just seemed to depend on the individual church. It wasn't so much an across-the-board sense of connection with just churches in general. So, yeah, I honestly don't know if I can speak to that, Robert. There's sometimes there's a lot of interest in the kind of work that we're doing, and sometimes there isn't. So, yeah, hard to say.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll come right back and talk to our guest, Lost and Found Theater's Artistic Director, Kathleen Sheehy. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Everybody wants the answer. They want a witness to the crime. Yeah, they want the truth laid out for them, plain and simple, black and white. But not every question has an answer that you can easily comprehend. And the search can get so frustrating. Somebody said truth is a river that is sober and slow. Yeah, it's a misty mountain pathway. It's covered up in snow. And if you really want to live there, you'd better get used to all the gray and trust that the steps you're taking will lead you to gray street, up on gray street. Oh, it's a place where black and white finally meet, up on gray street. Now the truth can satisfy you someday, it'll set us all free. But just like anything worth having, you know it doesn't come cheap. So stop that speeding down the highway, stop looking for a giant sign, and just start lurking in those secret laneways. Look for that crooked little alley and the funky old red brick home. Yeah, I hear the children laughing in the park outside your door. Hey, find somebody to love and together embrace the great unknown and rest in the love you're making upon gray street. Oh, upon gray street. Oh, it's the place where the air grows wild and sweet upon gray.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Gray Street from the Great Wooden Trio's self-titled debut CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Lost and Found Theater's Kathleen Sheehy. Now, Kathleen, you're the artistic director, and I know that part of the responsibility of artistic directors is scoping out new plays and helping the company with that choice of play. What attracted the company to the play that's opening up this coming week, the Boiler Room Suite?
Well, actually, Robert, we're a little unusual as a theater company in that, despite the fact that I hold a title, we do operate more as an ensemble and as a collective than as a typical theater company. So actually, this play was brought to our attention by Alan Sapp, one of the founding members of the company. He recalled seeing it done years ago at Redeemer College. It was directed by a former colleague of ours from Theater and Company, and just stuck in his mind. So he managed to unearth the script in the University of Waterloo Library and pass it around, and we all loved it. So that's how we got onto this play. It just really resonates with our values. It's very respectful of humanity in all its forms, and it has a redemptive aspect to it, which we found just lovely.
Well, can you give us a short synopsis without without any spoilers for us here?
Alerts here, okay. Well, it involves two homeless older people. I'm playing one of them, and they hole up in the boiler room of a big old hotel, probably in a city like Regina, somewhere out on the prairies. It's very cold, and Aggie has just encountered Sprug out on the street. He's helped her up out of the slush, and so she invites him to come down to her hideout to share a bottle of booze. And while they're down there, they start to imagine make up stories about the people who may be in the hotel over their heads, and they act out a lot of these fantasies. But they're not just acting out fantasies, they're also acting out things that they would like to see happen in their own lives, or things that they fear, or challenges that they're facing. And it's so engaging. And then there's somebody else comes on the scene to kind of interrupt this whole process, but he ends up being rather surprised by his encounter with Aggie and Sprug.
Now you play Aggie.
Yeah.
What attracted you to that role?
She's got a fantastic imagination. She describes herself as an actress who just never got a chance. So she just has this fantastic imagination that I found very engaging, and she's just a really hurting soul. She's had a lot of pain and brokenness in her life, and so she's ended up on the streets, but there's just something so lovable about her, and something to admire and respect about her, and I think that's I was attracted to her as a character, but I also was attracted to the idea of telling her story and just helping us all to recognize that the people that we see on the streets have stories, they have lives, they have pain, they're people that need respect, and they need care, and they need love.
Well, in getting ready for this role and preparing for it, what have been some of the things that you've had to go through yourself, and you know, some of the challenges that you face as you've tried to learn and get to know who Aggie is?
Well, you know, I actually kicked around the idea of just going and hanging out at some drop-in centers, and I came close to deciding to do that, and then I thought, you know what, the playwright actually based these characters on people that he encountered when he was working in an outreach center years ago. So I thought, okay, Rex, that's the playwright. He's done the research. I just need to find the humanity in this character. I need to find the points of connection that I have with her as a person. And that's what I need to focus on. So that's the way I chose to do it, which is pretty much what I do with any character. It's like, where am I like this character? Where am I not like this character? What do I love about this character? What do people need to understand about this character? And I just went with it from that perspective. And I like to think that I'm doing justice to Aggie.
Well, how long has it taken you to prepare, both in terms of rehearsal and in terms of what you were doing even before you got into the rehearsal stage of trying to get to know who Aggie is?
Well, I read the play many, many times and just thought through my own background. I did work in an inner city church in Philadelphia, and I had quite a few encounters with people who were living on the streets who would come in and use our facilities and, you know, chat. And so, you know, I thought back to that. And then as a cast, we rehearsed very intensively for a couple of weeks and then hit the ground running with loading in the set and doing tech rehearsals. And that's what we're into right now.
Well, one of the neat things, I'm going to shift gears here a little bit, but you talked earlier about, one of the challenges that theaters have been having is getting people out and attracting audiences. And you're doing something, the company's doing something that almost seems counterintuitive to its survival. And it's something that you've talked about called radical hospitality. Explain what that is.
It's an idea that we borrowed from a company in Minneapolis called Mixed Blood Theater Company, and they're not a faith-based company, but they were inspired by Saint Benedict and his attitude towards hospitality. So they wanted to offer barrier-free theater. They're doing it much more broadly than we are. They do this across the board. All of their shows are, all their performances are available. There's a certain number of tickets that are available for radical hospitality. We're rolling it out a little more slowly because we have to be a bit more cautious, and we don't have a sponsor, which they did have for their pilot program. Anyhow, what it is, you come to the theater 30, 40 minutes before curtain, give us your name and some sort of contact info, and you can walk in. You don't have to pay us a dime. And that's how we're doing it. So for three performances, we have about half the house set aside for radical hospitality, because we just don't want people to stay away because they don't have the money right now to afford to go to the theater. We can't do anything about people's time. I wish we could. But if money's the problem, we're going to go out on a limb here and see if we can get people to come to the theater regardless.
Right, and now this program's airing on November 10th, and I think you've got your final Radical Hospitality is the 11th, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, Tuesday, November 11th.
So keep that in mind.
Yep.
What other than trying to draw people into the theater, is this just an opportunity for people to experience what, and some people either haven't or haven't for a long time, experience what live theater is all about these days?
Yeah, definitely. That's we're hoping to hook people, frankly. I mean, we've done something similar to this with our staged reading offerings, where normally those are offered with no advance purchase required, although people can buy a guaranteed seat. So it's a similar kind of thing to this. And then there's a pay what you can opportunity as you leave. And we did that because we wanted to convince people that staged readings are incredibly engaging. And if I had a dollar for every person who walked out of one of our staged readings saying, I saw the whole thing in my mind, I'd be taking us out for lunch, Robert, because that's what they say. So we thought, well, let's try it with one of our fully staged productions and see if we can get people to dedicate some time out of their lives to experience live theater. So I'm hoping that we're going to get people who don't go to theater much, and this is what they needed to encourage them to give it a shot. We're also thinking, you know, there might be somebody who's having a bad couple of months, but when their ship comes in, they'll remember us and pay it forward somehow. You know, but we're just casting our bread upon the waters, see what comes back.
Well, it sounds like a really neat experiment. I'll be interested to see what to hear what the results are in the end. Let's just take a final break, and then we'll be back to wrap up our conversation with Lost and Found Theater Artistic Director Kathleen Shee. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Will You Love Me from the Great Wooden Trio CD by the Great Wooden Trio. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to finish up our conversation with Lost and Found Theater's Kathleen Sheehy. Kathleen, what are some of the other things that the company's working on for this season?
We've got Charles Dickens Writes a Christmas Carol, which is a holiday event that we've done almost every year, not quite every year, for the last few years. It's written by one of our members, Richard Quinnell, and it's always a fun experience. We collaborate with the Registry and the Waterloo Region Record on presenting that, and it's a fundraiser partly for Books for Kids and partly for Lost and Found Theater. So that will be December 20th. At the Registry. It's a great thing for the whole family. There's music that's part of it, and it's always great to hear that story at Christmas time. So that's the next thing coming up. We also have, in March, we've got Kimberly Akimbo, which is a play by David Lindsay Abaire that will be at the Registry in March, and that's about a young girl with an aging disease. So she's 16, but she's actually in the body of a 70-year-old, and just what that does in her life, as you can imagine, it's pretty radical. So we're looking forward to that, and we'll be back at the library, Kitchener Public Library, on November 27th for Stories in the Lounge. If you haven't been to the new Kitchener Public Library, you're really missing a treat. It's just amazing. Have you been down there, Robert?
I haven't had a chance yet, no.
Oh, my gosh. You'd never know. It was essentially the same building. It's just stunning. And the lounge has been completely reimagined as a gathering place, and it's just fantastic. So we're going to be reading excerpts from books. We did this for their grand opening in their auditorium, but when we do it again in November, it's going to be in the lounge. So come on out November 27th. 7 p.m. to the Kitchener Central Library, and hear some stories. We all love being read aloud to. I don't think you ever outgrow that.
Right. Yeah, and the Boiler Room Suite is on till when?
November 15th.
And like you said, the November 11th is the Radical Hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
And where can people get information about all these things?
Lostandfoundtheater.ca.
Great. Well, Kathleen, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you, Robert.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Kathleen Sheehy. If you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website, www.selawministries, that's www.selawministries.ca, and be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email Robert at Selaw Ministries or follow us on Twitter at Selaw13, that's SELAW13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.